early 20th century photographer Lewis Hine made his mark documenting working conditions all over the country, but also in mill towns like those in Georgia. His photos led to the reform of child labor laws. And a new museum exhibit at Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College tells the story of one family that he photographed in Tifton, Georgia. Historian Joe Manning's on a quest to actually learn more about the stories behind those photos, and he joins us from his home in Massachusetts. Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
Many people know Lewis Hine only through that one iconic photograph of the 11 workers eating their lunch on the I-beam during construction of the Empire State Building. But he was a sociologist, and photography, the art of the photography, was always second to his social purpose. And you're a social worker as well. What is it that makes photographs particularly good for reform?
Well, you know, up to the point where the National Child Labor Committee, which is was the people that hired him to take the pictures, they never trying in vain, really, to change people's opinions of the value of child labor and whether it should be, you know, be banned or prohibited with laws. But, you know, a lot of people in those days didn't live anywhere near mills, they wouldn't have witnessed, even if they lived near the mills, they wouldn't have witnessed children in there. A great deal of people did not have children working in mills, so they wouldn't have known it was going on. And by showing these incredible photographs that he took of these kids, many of them standing in front of a spinning machine or down in a coal mine or wherever they might be, it really didn't catch their conscience. And by displaying these pictures everywhere and having them in magazines and newspapers. And talking about it, people just look at it and say, well, gee, they could be my kids. I wouldn't want them to have that happen to my kids. And so then they would write their congressman, or congressmen would see the pictures and say, well, you've got to do something about this. This is terrible. And so, without Hine's photographs, I think it would have been a long time after that before we would have had child labor laws.
Yeah, and it's kind of similar to what we see today, right, with the fact that people have become more mobilized around certain movements because we now have video, things that would have been just a printed report. Now there's video of it, which leads to widespread outrage.
Yeah, no question. You know, if Hine had lived in these times, he probably would have... had a lot of his movies on YouTube,
yeah,
of kids in cotton mills and so on. It's no question that Hine set the stage for the use of photography to persuade social change.
But what happened with you, as I understand it, was you looked at these photos of these kids, and you're right, they're quite, in many cases, upsetting to see these.
Yes, or emotional.
Yeah, and you were captured. What do you remember? What it was that first photo that you saw?
Yeah, actually, I didn't go in it by. I actually went into it because somebody else asked me to do it. At the beginning, someone wrote a wonderful book. Elizabeth Winthrop wrote a wonderful book called Counting on Grace, which was inspired by a photo that Hine had taken. Although it had nothing to do with the actual child that was photographed, the girl. But she used the picture basically as a starting point to create a story about a child photographed by Lewis Hine. But she was a friend of mine, and when she finished the story, she said, now that I've finished the story, which is a novel, I'm sort of liberated to find out what really happened to her. And she says, I haven't got time. I'm already working on my next novel. And she said, show me the picture. And she said, do you think you could find out what happened to this girl? And my first reaction was, well, I don't know. I've never tried something like that before. And she said, well, why don't you really give it a try? And I said, okay. And in 2 weeks, I found one of her grandchildren. And, and the grandchild didn't know anything about the photograph. It was just the family was just amazingly excited to know that this photograph existed of their, in this case, their grandmother. And once I did that story and interviewed descendants and told the story of this child's life, Elizabeth said, why don't you go into the Library of Congress website and look at all the other Hine photos?
Yeah, you're blaming it on Elizabeth, but from what I've read in your interviews, you were hooked.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the experience, of course, the process of hunting down a family. I mean, you're doing genealogy sort of backwards. You're going from dead people to live people. And the whole thrill of it and finding out who the child really was and what the child was like and so on. And to me, it was like, you know, I could do this the rest of my life, and you know, there's so many pictures, there's thousands of them. I would never do all the pictures, but I knew that not only would it be important information and also incredibly rewarding to do it, but I knew I was rewarding the families who had no idea these pictures existed.
So tell me another story, because it looks as though one of the things you questioned was how could Lewis Hine walk away from these children and never wonder what had happened to them? And you're now answering at least some of those questions. How many kids have you tracked down?
More than 350.
Holy cow!
That's what I say every morning. I know that's an 11-year period. And, you know, when you're really, really dedicated and you do it all the time and you get good at it, I'm good at it, I learned to be good at it, and, you know, you have, being a social worker, I connect with people well, so doing interviews with descendants, whether it's on the phone or in person, I know how to handle those interviews. I know what questions to ask and so on. So I know I have the power to look at a picture and say, 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to be successful. And so every time I see a picture that really moves me, I just jump right into it.
So did you find any themes? I mean, there's all kinds of people who will tell you why it's so terrible for a kid's development to mm-hmm. be working at these very young ages and
sure.
in dangerous jobs. Did you find that reflected in these 350 stories that you tracked down?
It's hard to know. You know, having studied sociology, I know how important it is to look for trends when you gather information like this. And when you do that many stories that I've done, you can sort of think, well, you know, look at all of these stories and how do they have any common factors here. And I really haven't found that many common factors. The fact is that each one of them is in many ways a typical American story. You're not only having the story of that particular child, but you're having the story of how their descendants, the next several generations, made it in life. You know, did they go up the ladder in terms of economically? But maybe there's one kind of thing that I would say that is somewhat of a common thing is that most of these children they did not climb out of poverty. Particularly those in the South, which, of course, didn't catch up with the North in terms of industrialization until many, many years later. And so maybe that would be the case. But other than that, I mean, these kids surprise you. I mean, they survived, and many of them survived a long, long time, got married, had children, did the things that most people do. Maybe they struggled a lot, but we all struggle a little bit in our lives. And most of them wouldn't have become rich, that's for sure. But a lot of them are very smart, even though they weren't well-educated. I mean, there are many stories about kids that I've heard, you know, from children or grandchildren saying, well, my father didn't go to pass the fourth grade, but he helped me with my math homework.
Before we go, in the last 2 minutes that we have,
sure.
The one of the things that you have not tracked down is more child workers, I assume, because Lewis Hine's photographs helped to completely reform the state of child labor laws, not just in Georgia, but all over the country.
Yes.
So one change that you did find, I assume, is that their children and their grandchildren had a very different life.
Well, of course. And, you know, not only because the child labor laws began to prohibit it, but child labor actually became somewhat of an impractical thing to do because as technology improved and after World War One. A lot of factories started using, you know, what might have been not called automation then, but they used heavier machines and more difficult machines. Children couldn't learn to do it, and so children and families over the generations have benefited tremendously from the growth of things like the auto industry, the steel industry, and also from the Roosevelt era with all the government programs to lift people out of poverty and. The GI Bill and all those other kinds of things, they've gone through American history over the last 100 years, and they've grown generally in their economic situations simply by modernization.
That is historian Joe Manning. His research on photographer Lewis Hine is part of a traveling museum exhibit. You can see it at Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College and get more details at gpbnews.org. Joe, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Mine too. Thank you.